6 minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time. This is Wednesday, July 6, 2022. For those of you not keeping track, you are now. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. And last hour, we had a little conversation about the governor of Texas growing a pair and doing something about being invaded. And was I overreacting? I'm not encouraging people to take it upon themselves to go down there and start shooting across the Rio Grande, okay? First off, let's get that straight. You got to do this orderly. That's why we have military. That's why we have the National Guard. We voted these bozos in to do the right thing. But when you see what's going on in Washington with Mayorkas Dorcas, the fool that pulls his head out of the sand like an ostrich, and says, oh, there's nothing going on. The border's closed. Like hell it is. You know, it's almost like they're aiding and abetting the invasion of the southern states. And everybody, when you ask them, why'd you come across the border? Because Biden invited us. No, that's not what happened. I mean, Terrell County, Judge Dale Carruthers, owns a ranch that borders Mexico. Her county shares 91 miles of international border. The groups of illegal aliens are coming in camo, she says. It makes you wonder they're not here to pick flowers. She said a young woman who was recently apprehended within a group of illegal aliens had been gang raped by the men in the group along the way. So, you know, you got to wonder about half of this going on. It's like the Biden administration is supporting sex trafficking, smuggling. I mean, this is all criminal activity in the Biden administration. Mayorkas Dorcas and all the rest of the hocus pocus bunch up there that think they're all right on by this. I mean, this is worse than violating the Trading with the Enemy Act. What's your input on that? Think we ought to go down to the border and open up a can of whoop ass? 844-769-2944 is the number to call. I want to hear your input on that. This is pretty serious when you've got multiple states now, starting with Arizona, and Mark Brnovich, their attorney general, and the governor, and now all of a sudden everybody's saying, hey, wait a minute, invasion. Can we define this as invasion? They are shooting at us when they come into the country, trying to flee. We can't have this. And, you know, they were talking on Fox News, and I always like to monitor what's going on because that's about as mainstream right as you're going to get, even though they make a lot of mistakes in their news reporting. And I got to sit there and wonder how much of it's propaganda and how much of it's truth. But then I got to turn around and ask myself a lot of questions that people like Tucker Carlson are asking the same thing. All these different questions of what's going on. Are we really being invaded? You know, do we have the right to go down and actually engage these people? But wait a minute, there's men and women and children and they all want to be free. Free from what? You know, they were fine in their own country until somebody opened the floodgates and let them in. And see all the gotaways that came in? Many of these, as been reported, are men of military servitude age. And now they're dressed in camo. Wonder why that would be. Why would you come in here dressed like that unless you planned on engaging in some sort of nefarious illegal behavior? And then you've got the situation up in Highland Park, Illinois, over the 4th of July holiday, 7 people dead now, dozens injured. And so, of course, both the parents and the uncle of the mass shooting suspect have come out and said, well, we didn't see anything wrong. Yeah. You see, here's the thing about, you got somebody living with you. He's 22 years old. He's the age of majority, right? Now, we're not dealing with a high school kid in Uvalde, Texas, that potentially got groomed and went out and shot up a school. We're talking about a kid who's a rapper, is 22 years old. He's the age of majority, keeps to himself in his own apartment in the back of the home, saying he was an aspiring rapper, has face tattoos. And as many times as they visited his home, and then all of a sudden now you've got the Lake County prosecutor out there post-shooting. The state's attorney in Lake County pushing for gun controls. And didn't bother to do his homework. He brings the talk, but he's not walking the walk. He's calling for gun controls that are already on the books. I mean, literally, Breitbart reported Highland Park banned assault weapons in 2013. Did anybody bother to enforce it? No. Who do I hold accountable for that one? Lake County State's Attorney Eric Reinhart. You're the bozo that could have enforced it and didn't. How did you let, you got red flag laws, don't you? How did you let this kid legally possess a gun? They had all sorts of records on him. How did this happen? And now you turn around without checking first to see what laws are on the books, and you go spewing your little Democratic diatribe. You see, this is what's going to get us all in trouble, folks. And because of all these gun laws, all the stuff that's going on in D.C., there's a new lawsuit challenging a ban on concealed carry firearms in the D.C. area public transit, which is crime-ridden. I mean, you talk about vulnerable. The high court's been strengthening the Second Amendment protections in recent years. In D.C. versus Heller, which is a 2008 case, it held the amendment protects the individual right to possess and carry weapons in case of confrontation. Yet every time we turn around, the Democrat-held states are all doing stuff to try to change all that. Take away your rights, take away your guns. You see, these people, until it actually happens to them and somebody, some enemy comes and points a weapon in the governor's face, I'm talking about Newsom, Mr. Privileged Elitist, thinks he's all that plus a bag of chips. You know, what happens when somebody who's an enemy comes and points a weapon in his face? Yo, you think he's going to be carrying a gun? Is that enemy going to put him out of his misery because they don't need him interfering when they take control? I mean, he opened the door just like Biden did. Biden opened the door to let all these immigrants, many of which are terrorists, suspected known terrorists, come into this country. We call them gotaways. You know, what do you think about that? You think we're right to go to the border as a militia and work with the sheriff to keep them on the other side? I mean, Mexico's giving all these people coming across from various other countries visas to travel through Mexico to get to the... Who did this? I can tell you the Biden administration probably had something to do with Mexico handing out all these visas. They're trying to multiculturalize America. And you know what's going to happen? You will see London on a mass scale. Because London is multiculturalized, and if you want to see the same thing happen here that's going on in Britain right now and go totally socialism, let the Biden administration multiculturalize America. It will ruin us, especially if they're allowed to come in here illegally, take up residence, suck off the teat of the government, tax our services, take our jobs. I mean, doesn't that just concern you just a little bit? I mean, I'm not asking you to go to your window and open your window like Peter Finch did and network and yell, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm asking you to think about who you're going to call to try to change things before the Great Reset comes and changes you. So, hey, understand that all of the stuff that's going on right now is by design. In our election system, Republicans in Texas and elsewhere are considering closing primaries to limit what they say is Democratic meddling. One of the GOP's top legislative priorities includes closing primaries to stop Democrat interference, part of a sweeping measure calling on the state's legislature to enhance election integrity while combating voter fraud. Some Republicans point to stories of Democrats playing spoiler in Texas primaries as a concern. In February, an Austin woman quoted in a Texas public radio story admitted she and others crossed over to vote in the Republican primary to cause chaos. You see, this sort of stuff, you got Democrats running as Republicans, and we call them rhinos, but they're really Democrats, wolf in sheep's clothing. And of course, in Texas, State Representative Cecil Bell, who's a Republican from Magnolia, who serves parts of Montgomery and Waller counties outside Houston, told the Epoch Times crossover voting isn't an issue in his district, but that doesn't mean it hasn't caused problems in larger metro areas. You see, and that's why all of these illegal immigrants are being shuttled off to Houston. Because Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, and other major cities in this state, it's interesting how you can hide these people in large crowds. According to several Republican congressmen who recently introduced House Bill 7779, they are hoping to crack down on the Chinese Communist Party's Trojan horse influence and activities taking place in U.S. universities, trying to change the mindset of students going and getting a liberal higher education. And they want to stop Homeland Security funding restrictions. They want to establish this, rather, on institutions of higher education that have a relationship with Confucius Institutes. Imagine that. And, of course, all of these Chinese dissidents that are assisting in this Confucius Institute proliferation, there's enough evidence showing, besides the fact they're promoting communist propaganda, they're intimidating Chinese dissidents who have fled to America, and they're funneling information back to the People's Liberation Army. August Pfluger of Texas said that under no circumstances should American taxpayer dollars be used to enrich the CCP or the PLA, adding Congress has to ensure taxpayer dollars are cut off from these programs for good, including Confucius Institutes. If you live in Florida, you should know Sarasota County is scrambling to recruit enough poll workers to handle voting in the county during August 23rd and November 8th elections, two pivotal events that will see area voters decide on major issues in numerous local, state, and congressional races. According to Sarasota County Supervisor of Elections Ron Turner, the county needs at least 750 poll workers to adequately carry out each election, but it's still not close to that minimum figure with the August election just weeks away. You remember what I told you about becoming a poll worker? Sarasota County needs them, 750 minimum. Sarasota County's got plenty of engaged citizens who are passionate about contributing to the community, just not enough. The fact that Ron Turner, the supervisor of elections, is facing this dilemma at all leads to an inescapable question about how apathetic we are. We the people got to rise up or the same thing is going to happen, and they're going to steal the election in November. That is what I am seeing if we don't rise up and stop this nonsense. In other news, and like I said, phone lines are open if you want to chat. The firearms industry abandons blue state to avoid crushing regulations. Now, would you be surprised that they're moving to red states? Remington, founded in 1816, America's oldest gun maker, announced in November it was moving its headquarters from New York to Georgia. Dark Storm Industries. Ever heard of them? Gun manufacturer and retailer. They're going to be moving to Titusville, Florida, where they have begun construction of a new manufacturing plant, bringing up to 75 jobs to the Sunshine State. Now let's talk about Smith & Wesson. For those of you elderly folk out there that think that you can't own a firearm because you can't operate one, Smith & Wesson has an easy model. And they call it easy because of the fact that it's easy to rack and load the magazine into the chamber. In the gun lingo, it's called chambering around. And it makes it easy to do that. That's why Smith & Wesson developed the Easy 9mm and 380. Cops have 9mm weapons, folks. Don't panic. I'm not sitting there inciting anything. I'm just giving you some information. Because Tennessee is looking at attracting Smith & Wesson and Troy Industries, both from Massachusetts. Yes, they're moving to Tennessee. Maryville, as a matter of fact. Ah, does that name Maryville ring a bell? I believe we have a radio station outlet there that is broadcasting the Power Hour. Goody for you, Maryville, Tennessee. $125 million investment, 750 new jobs. And you see, Tennessee does the right thing. Massachusetts did the wrong thing, imposing all these laws banning the sale, possession, and manufacture of assault weapons and large-capacity magazines for civilian use. Folks, you see, this is what's going to cause problems for the state of Massachusetts when nobody can have a gun except the criminals. Troy Industry is going to invest $7 million in Clarksville, Tennessee, and add 75 jobs there. Kimber Manufacturing, I'll tell you about Kimber. I've done a little research into their pieces. They're a little bit heavier but powerful. They left New York for Alabama. Winchester Centerfire left Illinois for Mississippi. Stag Arms left Connecticut for Wyoming. Magpul Industries left Colorado for Wyoming and Texas. This migration of the firearms industry is part of a wider movement by American firms to escape the high tax, high regulation states like California, New York, Illinois, New Jersey, Massachusetts. But the gun makers are in particular hurry to get out of these states in response to new laws and regs seemingly intended to drive them out. Gee, wonder what's going to happen when there's no jobs left to be had in all these blue states because they ran everybody out. And you see, here's the funny thing about it. Breitbart's Business Digest has a story online, which we're going to include in your email blast, provided you're getting it. Everything screams recession except jobs. Yep, unemployment is low. In fact, there's so many help wanted signs out there still. I got to ask myself about the work ethic. We seem to have a problem with that, especially with the woke companies. Got a notice in my next door about Walmart. Walmart, where I'm at, just can't seem to find enough workers. And so parts of their departments in their stores are closing early, like their auto center. And then there's been some conflict in the information coming out about the Walmart, where I'm at, saying they're closing at 4 p.m. because they just don't have enough help. And then people are responding and going, no, that's not it. They're just closing the auto center. You see, now what does that do? That prompts people in the area to find out first off when you go online to Google or wherever it is your search engine is and doing a search of the place that you want to visit before you go there, because the worst thing would be to put all that expensive gas in your tank to drive to location to find out they're closed. Well, they decided to close one or two days that week because they just can't find help or due to lack of business. And they just all of a sudden close their door. So now it prompts you, if you have internet, to get online and go look to see whether or not they're open before you go there. That's a solution, isn't it? And how much did billionaires lose during the first half of 2022? $1.4 trillion, according to the Bloomberg Billionaires Index. This is the largest six-month decline in wealth in the history of the billionaire class worldwide, following 2 years of strong gains. That includes Tesla, Amazon. Yep. Woke or not, still losing money. I think a lot of it has to do with consumer confidence or the lack thereof. And for those of you whose kitties are on TikTok, It's owned by China. And it is confirmed employees within the communist dictatorship can access personal data of U.S. TikTok users. This is Bloomberg reporting this stuff. It's revealed certain company employees based in China have access to the personal information of American citizens. So, yeah. What exactly are your kids doing on TikTok? What are they saying? What are they uploading, parents? Are they giving away to the Chinese government all of your personal information? Like telling the Chinese government when you're home and when you're not home? Whether you keep your doors locked? Whether you have guns in the house? What do your kids say when they get on TikTok, folks? Are they ratting you out to a higher authority? Amazing how that works. And they're all over here, infiltrating our cybersecurity protocols. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration, by the way, has put a hold on its ban of sales of Juul Labs e-cigs, saying late Tuesday it would do additional review of the company's marketing application before putting the total squeeze to them. We also have a story about the surprising causes behind the insulin resistance epidemic. Insulin. We're talking about insulin, diabetes, insulin. Yeah. And watch out if you drink sodas while working in hot weather. Not good. CDC's updates on flu vax efficacy. Also not good. Wow. Coming up after this short break, we're going to be bringing Ryan Anderson and Alexandra DeSantis on talking about abortion. We just need to get rid of it completely. You like that mindset? You'll want to tune in for this. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. When talking of great immune support, a line of products comes to my mind. That's North American Urban Spice. We carry the Rest Vital Calf, Sinew Orega, Oreganol Juice, Purely C, Chaga Max, Collagen Power Plus, Orega Rest, Super Strength Oregano Oil, Black Seed, and many more. Support small businesses when you buy from the good guys. Go to thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829.
This craft that the Strokes family had of recognizing the medicinal value of herbs by taste and then putting formulas together, knowing the herbal ingredients they needed, but putting them together in perfect proportion by taste, just like a chef would. The Strauss Heart Drops, the world-famous Strauss Heart Drops that saved my life, Jim Strauss's and many others, my dad, my list goes on and on. But those Heart Drops, they were developed, created 40 years ago for Jim himself after a heart attack. Now, this formula fixed my high blood pressure over 20 years ago, and I have had great blood pressure since.
Call Jay at 877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
Two minutes after the hour of 12 noon here on the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. Wednesday, July 6, 2022. We're in Central Time, but our guests probably are not. But we want them to say what they got to say because, I mean, this is really important. It's the news of the day. And for those of us Christian conservatives out there listening to the show, you're going to appreciate what Ryan Anderson, PhD, and Alexander De Sanctis have to say. Both of them are affiliated with the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C. Ryan Anderson authored When Harry Became Sally, Responding to the Transgender Moment and Truth Overruled, The Future of Marriage and Religious Freedom. His work on marriage and religious freedom has been published by New York Times, The Post, The Journal, and a multitude of popular and academic journals have been cited in two Supreme Court opinions, believe it or not. Alexander De Sanctis, a visiting fellow at Ethics and Public Policy Center, is a staff writer at the National Review, widely published journalist covering politics, abortion, pro-life, elections, religion. God, Alexander, you're in the middle of it all. Covering pro-life groups. God love you. God bless both of you for what you're doing out there. Your stuff has been, Alexander, in the National Review, but it's been in The Atlantic and several other publications. How do the liberal media react to the types of articles that you are writing? I got to ask that question because when I'm saying your work appeared here, is it arguendo? I mean, what is it?
Yeah, I do have to say they get very upset when I publish pro-life pieces in mainstream papers or magazines because they really, I think, abortion supporters and the left think of that as their space. So I've definitely gotten some very, very angry, vitriolic responses when I publish those places.
Well, now, tearing us apart, how abortion harms everything and solves nothing. Brian, and I'm going to let you speak first because this is something, I guess you're the president of the Ethics and Public Policy Center. This all, obviously, between the two of you was a very intense collaborative effort that was done pre-Dobbs. And before we went on, Ryan, I was asking Alexander about the pertinence of this book, given the Dobbs decision. Her response was that you pretty much expected what you got in Dobbs. What's your take on this, how this book fits into the entire equation?
Sure. So Alexandra and I, we wrote the book on the assumption that the pro-life side would win Dobbs. We could count to five. We thought there was finally five votes on the Supreme Court, not only to uphold Mississippi's law in the Dobbs case, but to overturn Roe, to overturn Casey, and by implication, return the abortion question to the Democratic branches of government, meaning all 50 states and the federal Congress, which meant that, you know, what Alexander and I had to do, our role within the pro-life movement as scholars and as writers, was to compile all of the best arguments for life, put them all in one place, show how abortion has harmed everything, how abortion has solved nothing, to empower our readers to then go out and make the case for life. Because we're in a new moment in American history, with Roe and Casey now gone, persuasion is more important than ever. We need to be persuading people who don't yet agree with us about the truth of the child in the womb, about the truth of the mother carrying the child, the dignity, the goodness of both of those lives, about the harm of abortion, and therefore about the laws that we need to enact that would protect both mother and child from the harms of abortion.
Now, I'm going to ask each one of you to give your voice because, I mean, you just mentioned the fact that we want to change the mindset. I'll let each of you respond to this and answer how and what would you say to these protesters if you came face to face with these people, many of them, of course, involved in torching pro-life centers. What would you say to them?
Yeah, well, this is something we actually address in the book, how there's this kind of big distinction, we think, between people who are pro-choice and pro-abortion, right? Abortion supporters like to say they're pro-choice and not pro-abortion, and yet they spend a great deal of their time attacking, sometimes quite literally, crisis pregnancy centers. And we don't touch on that so much in the book because this is a rather recent phenomenon, the firebombing, the graffiti, the, you know, broken windows. But abortion supporters have been attacking pregnancy resource centers for a long time in the sense that they want to shut them down. They call them deceptive, misleading clinics, all sorts of attacks on them because these centers are actually helping women make a choice other than abortion. And it turns out that abortion supporters actually are not very pro-choice when the mother wants to keep her baby.
And Ryan, what do you say?
I echo everything that Alexandra just said. And then I would add, open your eyes. You know full well who and what the entity in the womb is. You celebrate it when it's wanted, so-called, right? You share the ultrasound photos with your family. You post them on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You celebrate that life of that child in every other situation. Justice requires that we love that child and that we serve that mother. And what you're doing, firebombing the local pregnancy resource center, is directly attacking one of the few institutions in our society that's entirely dedicated to loving them both. And you put the lie to the claim that you're pro-choice. You reveal the reality that you're merely pro-abortion.
And I have to ask the questions. I mean, and they're coming. Folks, if you have a question to ask of our dynamic duo here, 844-769-2944 is the toll-free number to call. And we'd be happy to have you on here if you have a pertinent question. Now, the Dobbs decision, basically, I have said ever since it came out that the 10th Amendment, it was a major victory for the 10th Amendment because the rights went back to the states. And, of course, now the blue states, as everything else, they've gone and messed up. With their ideology, they keep using the word democracy over and over and over again. And I hear this, democratic process that. But yet when I put my hand in my heart or I salute the flag, I say, into the republic, not the democracy for which it stands. And I took the oath when I served during NAM to uphold the Constitution. And apparently, you know, this thing with Roe v. Wade, there is or was a compromise that still resulted in a split court because not everybody is convinced, even way back when Roe v. Wade, even though it was overturned at the time, we've been so ingrained into believing, even with the pro-life movement out there doing what they're doing. You know, I've got to ask, there's still issue within the court. Dissenting opinions within the court. And this is obviously something that's got me a little bit perturbed because of the fact they keep insisting democratic this, democratic that, and they don't understand that the Constitution doesn't say anything about abortion. It says life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness or property. And so, you know, from a constitutional perspective, you know, they can take democracy and shove it, as far as I'm concerned, because the last time I checked, we still had a republic, according to what Ben Franklin said, if we can keep it. The problem I have is, you know, they are commingling so much division just on this. You've obviously done the research, both of you, and you understand the fact that abortion is not going to come into play in November or in 2024. Do you concur with that? Voter-wise?
Yeah, I don't think this issue is at all something that people go to the ballot box on. I think among people who are voting with abortion as a top-line issue, surveys have shown for a long time that pro-lifers actually have a pretty significant edge. So pro-lifers tend to be motivated by the abortion issue far more than abortion supporters. But I think especially given the other kind of problems going on in our country right now, you know, extremely expensive gas prices, things missing from the grocery store, just crazy inflation, people are not going to be voting by and large on this issue. And to the extent that they are, I think they're going to realize that Roe being overturned was actually a good thing for our country, right? It actually sent the issue back to voters and to legislators to kind of put laws in place that the American people actually agree with in every state and at the federal level, hopefully, too. And it's not in the stranglehold of the Supreme Court anymore. And I think most Americans actually agree with that status quo.
So now the book is selling well in blue states.
No, I don't know if they give us sales data that's that accurate to which jurisdiction it's been sold in. But what you highlighted is an important point. We can't just be preaching to the choir. What we need to be doing is reaching out to people who don't yet agree with us and helping them one day come to embrace the truth about the matter. I mean, that's the business of the pro-life movement. It's to win converts, converts to the pro-life cause. And, you know, what we hope to do with the book is precisely enable you as a reader to have that conversation with your, you know, blue state voting friend about why they should be on the cause of life.
So the people that are out there protesting right now are of the age where if their parents bought into this Roe v. Wade garbage, they wouldn't be there protesting now because they would have been aborted. I mean, I want to just go up to one of them and say, hey, you're lucky you're here. I was adopted. I personally can, and I actually had the chance to find my birth mother, and I actually thanked her for not having an abortion. She said, I'm sorry, I could not have done that. I could never have done that. Back when you were born, we, of course, you didn't have kids out of wedlock, and I was born in a home for unwed mothers. So, you know, adoption, I hear, you know, people's arguments. Then I hear, hey, you need to take the jab. And then I hear, wait a minute, if I take the jab, look at all of the issues happening to pregnant women, and they have stillborns. And what happens when the kid comes out and he's got all sorts of problems or ends up dead or ends up being miscarried because of the jab? And I got people and doctors calling my show saying this is nothing but an effort to depopulate the United States. How do you deal with stuff like this? And it gets very quiet. So this is just one of these things.
I think we're dealing with a situation where people don't respect human life, right? And if you were to say that to any of these protesters, their response would be something about women and women's bodies. And that's typically what you hear, right? You don't actually hear abortion supporters celebrate the killing of unborn children very often. Sometimes they want to portray abortion as a positive good. But the main argument we hear is women need this, or this is something that women depend on. So we respond to that at great length in the book and make the case that, first of all, you know, there's another human life at stake here. It's not just about the woman's body. But secondly, abortion has actually harmed women and is not good for women. I think that's kind of where we have to meet a lot of these people who are very pro-abortion. To the extent they're coming from a sincere place of concern for women, we have to be able to point out as pro-lifers, this actually isn't a real solution for women either.
Yeah, but Alexandra, don't you think that these people that are out there protesting, I mean, somebody has steered them, whether it's these liberal institutions, think tanks, whatever the case, I mean, our own government, if we have doctors out there saying that our own government is trying to murder us, then isn't our own government actually behind the Roe v. Wade? I mean, you got congressmen like Maxine Waters, who can't keep her mouth shut, sitting there starting trouble, telling the Supreme Court to go to hell. I mean, what kind of respect is that from a congressperson toward the court that is supposed to actually steer this country in the right direction, not by legislation, but by ruling on what is just and what isn't?
Yeah, no, that's true. And it's all kind of the poisonous fruit of Roe, right? In that decision, the justices knew there was no right to abortion anywhere in the Constitution. There's nothing in the text or the history or the tradition of our founding documents that suggests abortion is a constitutional right. They made it up out of whole cloth because they thought it would be, you know, good for the country. And this is what we're left with. And now we have, as you point out, politicians who, rather than noting that the court has rectified a grave wrong, actually, you know, claiming the court is now illegitimate because it undid that decision.
Well, then you got Chuckie Schumer out there, you know, basically encouraging or inciting violence. I mean, Don't we have to actually change the minds of our congressional leaders that people look up to and listen to and suck up on every word that they say and then go out and try and take out a justice? I mean, seriously, they're part of the problem here. Esther in Washington, you are on the phone with Ryan Anderson and Alexandra DeSantis. What say you?
Hello, Ryan and Alexandra. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing and being brave to do it in the times that we're living in. Thank you so, so much. I would like to say something, and then you can comment on it, of course, but the gender bender blender wackos, they've taken this to an extreme of faddishness because their mental acuity is just not there. And here's what I would like everyone listening now, and for both of you to comment, this is what I'd like to say. A fetus wants to identify as a human by becoming a baby. So thank you again.
Thank you, Esther, for your call. Go ahead, Brian.
Thank you. Thank you for the question, and thank you for the kind words of praise that you offered. What I would say in response is that it's not so much that the fetus wants to identify as a human by becoming a baby. The unborn child, the fetus, already is a human. One of the things that Alexandra and I argue in the very first chapter of the book is that each and every one of us was once a one-cell zygote. We were once a multi-cell blastocyst. We were once an embryo. We were once a fetus. We were once a newborn. We were once a toddler. And now we're, on a radio show. And those aren't different organisms. Those aren't different entities. That's different stages, another way of putting it, different ages of one and the same human being. And so the unborn child in the womb already is a human being. What it desires, what it wants, what it's striving after is continued life, to continue developing, to continue maturing, to continue thriving, which is what all of us are after, right? All of us our bodies are striving to continue living. And so the unborn child is no different, except perhaps in how radical its form of dependency is. All of us are dependent. Like, we're all dependent on Mother Nature. We're all dependent on our family, our friends. The unborn child is particularly dependent, not just on Mother Nature, but on its own mother, his or her mother, because sex is determined at conception as well.
Okay, Alexandra, your response to that?
Oh, yeah, I think Ryan has it exactly right, and that there is kind of a just desire to reject the unborn child as a clump of cells or a part of the mother or a parasite, and these are very unsophisticated arguments for abortion, but usually what we hear, I think, in our popular discourse, it's very, very easy to rebut them with just a basic science of human life.
Well, it seems like they don't want to pay attention to the science. That's part of the problem. It was just like what we were talking about earlier, than when I bring up the jab. There's been so much lies pandered by the CDC, the NIH. I mean, they seem to be contributing to the problem, not being part of the solution. When you start mincing words and you get Fauci out there, Dr. Anthony Mengele out there saying, if you attack me, you attack science. I mean, the pomposity of what is going on right now is catering. You have an uphill fight because, and Alexandra, I go back to the fact that you have all these articles that you publish in the Times, the Journal, all these liberal rags. And, I'm a card-carrying journalist, and I certainly, can understand why they would be peeved at you for putting stuff in there like that. But see, the thing is, that's all part of cancel culture, and the government is participating in this. Would you agree?
I'm not sure even by the government participating in it, but I do think there's certainly a desire to silence one's opponents and those who disagree rather than, actually entering into a discussion about, who has the facts on their side, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's part of it. Ryan, what do you think?
So, I think the most important thing that we would want to see is that government at every level never lie to its citizens. And whether that's lying about something like COVID, whether that's lying about things like the efficacy or the safety of the vaccine or lying about unborn human life. Lies should have no place in official communication from government to citizens. And unfortunately, what we've seen, I think, in the abortion context, more so than anywhere else, are a series of lies, from the Supreme Court about the Constitution and about the unborn child. That's how we got Roe and Casey. We now see a series of lies from left-leaning politicians who support abortion on demand, lying about the Constitution, lying about the unborn child, lying about what equality and liberty require. And so I think what we need to see across the government is a return to kind of reality-based, truth-based governance. And that's going to require taking human nature seriously.
Well, it would if we could stop the divisiveness. But the thing is it seems like the left-wing media is catering to the divisiveness. That's going to be part, I think, of your uphill battle in just trying to educate people is the censorship, the cancel culture, and the repeated misrepresentation of what's really going on here. Bob in Missouri, you're on the phone with Ryan Anderson and Alexandra DeSantis. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to draw a little line with the abortion and with the gay movement. As you guys recall, at least I'm sure you know, Dave, when they were pushing the gay movement, here's what they did. So insidious, you know, the rights of gay people to have sex. They made sure that if you were had AIDS, that if a doctor told anybody that you had this AIDS, that they could put him in jail. So they wanted to make sure that he'd spread it among anybody he wanted to. You know, the supposed rights of the gay people was to murder, it was a genocide against these young men. That's a fact. If you reported, if your doctor reported that you had AIDS, so that mean you could go and, indiscriminately go and have sex at these bathhouses and kill all these people. You know, and that's what it's all about. It's about getting rid of the West. So that's a fact. You know, and how could anybody that's gay go into that lifestyle knowing that, that the doctors, it was against the law to tell anybody that you were AIDS, that you had AIDS if you didn't want them to know. So you were able to go out and indiscriminately murder people in the most cowardly way through sex. And that's what your courts did. And the same thing with this. This whole left, you call left wing, it's Marxist communism. You know, let's call it what it is. You know, all these little niceties. It's to kill these kids. It's genocide. And that's what it is. It's pure genocide. We talk about Nazis and their genocidal tendencies. What about the Marxist, leftist Bolsheviks? That's who these people are. They're Bolsheviks. And we need to call them who they are. You say all this stuff around it. If you have a fox coming in your hen house, don't you describe it to your family that, hey, this is the fox, and we got to get rid of him, and he's going to keep on coming in here and eating our chickens? You know, if you're saying, oh, some animal, a duck or something, is going to come in and eat our chickens. No, it's not a duck. It's a fox. And we got to describe who it is and what it is. And that's where they get away with anything. Washington, D.C. is a crime ring because no one, as I said before, Dave, you know, no one is ever prosecuted for anything, regardless whether it's so-called left or right. It's all the same party. And it's a party to them. And these are perverts. You know, we got to find out what they're doing up there in those caverns down there in Washington, D.C. with all these kids that are coming in here and what they're doing. You know what they're talking about. You know, the evil that they're doing. These are Satanist, Marxist, communists that hate Christianity. They hate the West. And let's say what it is. You know, all this other stuff, that's the reason they got to where they are right now is because no one will call them out as to who they are in their history. Let's get into the history of the Bolsheviks. Anyway, you guys, what do you got to say about that?
Yeah, that's a mouthful there, Bob. We appreciate your call. Yeah, appreciate your call. Go ahead, Ryan. What do you think?
It's unclear where to start in responding. I think a bottom line here, thinking about the comment about the fox in the hen house, this is what we've been living through for 50 years with women being told the lie that their dignity, their equality, and their liberty requires that they view their unborn child as a threat, that they view their unborn child as a parasite, as someone who's trespassing. And, I mean, that analogy stuck with me as the caller was saying it, as, like, that's the lie of abortion. Right. I mean, the actual fox in the hen house are the Planned Parenthoods of the world. They're the abortionists in the world who are targeting these unborn children and, for that matter, lying to these mothers. And we need to respond to that that sad reality.
No doubt. Alexandra, what's your take?
Yeah, I would just add to that something we talk about quite a bit in the book is the history of the pro-abortion movement and specifically kind of its tie-in with the early eugenics movement in the United States and how, you know, the progressive movement in the early 20th century was essentially in favor of birth control and sterilization for the purpose of eliminating what they saw as unfit members of the population. So whether that was low-income individuals or non-white people, you know, mentally disabled people, just these populations that they said, you know, we don't want to have too many of, essentially. And we chronicle in great detail how that mindset today leads to what we call lethal discrimination against particular groups of unborn children. So baby girls who are statistically much more likely to be killed by abortion just because they're not baby boys. Non-white babies, right? We know that the abortion rate in non-white communities is disproportionate. This kind of targeting of these individuals.
No doubt. Well, we thank you both for being on the show. The book is Tearing Us Apart, How Abortion Harms Everything and Solves Nothing. You can obviously call your local bookstore if it's banned in certain areas, and it might be because you never know. The censorship is there. We thank you both for your comments and for being on the show. That's the book to go get if you want some more ammunition and some science in your life. We are out of time for today. Dave Krieger with you at the Power Hour. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, God bless you and God bless the United States of America.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.